Yeah, I like Senor, we bless you. It's such a beautiful expression. Not some general expression, the Lord bless you. No, Yahweh bless you. Yahweh bless you. I like that. Yahweh. Yahweh. I bless you in the glorious name of Yahshua the Lamb, the Holy One of Israel. You know, Elder Martin came to me the other night, the old man, concerned about me. And I understand that. And I bless Yahweh for that. He came to me because I knew he was coming that morning, but he didn't come. I knew he was going to stop by and just holler at me because he tends to do that. So he bless you, Pastor. Even many times on the Shabbat, he used to come back. So he said, he came all the day. He said, Pastor Roberts, I asked my wife. I say to her, are you searching those scriptures? And Pastor Roberts told us to search. The old man, the light began to shine in his face. He says, she says, not really, no. He said, because the man of Yahweh said it. He has told us the truth. He's not lying unto us. And the old man said, Pastor Robert did something to my soul and my heart. It blessed me so mightily and so great. No, you are a fool. If I'm a deceiver, you are twice deceived. You are an ignorant jackass of a fool. And I'm not deceived. I'm not going to despise his name as he bring us. Can you imagine some of those priests when they would dig and they would find this name? They would say, what happened to this? Why is this not restored? Why is this name not in the temple? And many of them rejoice. And there were those that didn't even use his name. But yet there were those, I believe, Yahweh allowed them to keep intact that very profoundness of his name. I believe that. And so when they would find that, they rejoiced in that. They rejoiced in that great renowned knowledge that was delivered unto them. I believe that. Glory. So an elder said that to me, bless my heart. If no one believes, she believes. If no one else receives it, she receives it. And that's all that matters. So then I'm not saying something that is full of vanity. It's truth, sister. Yahshua said, for you have not my word abiding in you. For if you had my word abiding in you, you will believe the one I've sent. You will know that he has come from me. And the reason you can't believe it is because you don't have the word of Yahweh abiding in you. You have emotions and feelings and you express it out and all that. That doesn't mean nothing at all. When one gets that word abiding in him, you will believe the one that Yahweh has sent. You think if you're a child you ask for, you that are parents know how to give good gifts unto your children. You think that your heavenly father doesn't know how to give good gifts unto you. You think if you ask for a piece of bread, he'll give you a serpent? If you think you ask for a man that is of truth and wisdom, Yahweh, that he's going to give you a man that is full of the spirit of Baal? A corrupt man? No, he will show you how corrupt you are. He will show you your sins and your vile ways and your unfaithfulness unto him. He will show you that. Sure he will. He will show you how far you're fallen. That's what the prophets did. I want to read that. Now, you all know I had a birthday yesterday. Yes, not a new year. Some of you all say I turned a year older yesterday. And I passed that today. There was nothing special. You know I don't deal in those rams, okay? But yet the young brothers, they gave me a card. It says this. I like what it says. It said, we love you. And may Yahweh bless you always. Bless you, Pastor R. Greetings. May the Almighty Elohim strengthen you in the days and other years to come. We pray that be his will. He has kept you thus far. I believe that, sons. And he will lead you on to glory. We thank the blessed Redeemer for your faith and spirit to run on and what the end is going to be. Your sons. Jeremy Jason and John Jr. Good boys. Like that. Then Brother Richard, he sends me a little something here. He said, dear Pastor Roberts, may Yahweh bless you and strengthen you on your 48th birthday. And may Yahweh build a joy in your heart every time you think on him. He does, son. Bless you. And stand strong in the faith, I will. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek Yahweh understand all things. Now that's good. Now that's all right. The evil things of their hearts, because it is your own tradition that makes void Yahweh's truth. No, it is not him. You transgressed the traditions of our father. No, it's your traditions. It's your traditions that make void his truth. Well, I'm going to hold on to this. No, I'm not going to hold on to the things that I held on yesterday. I'm not going to hold on to that. Why? Because he's giving me a new day. And that's a new birth of my soul every day. Every single second, that's a new birth. Glory. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We say that without any thought, and that is to praise Yahweh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I ain't ashamed of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? Because I even see what Almighty Yahweh is doing. Even the broadcast, there are people that are beginning to respond now in a way differently. Pastor called last night, Pastor Huggins, right there by Pastor Dow. There was a brother called, old country brother too, from up there in Pennington Gap, Virginia. And he said that it's booming very loud and very clear. Well, what did you preach on last night? Really nothing to preach on. I just sat there and just began to preach. I have a true conviction in my heart that I believe that the King is coming. And I don't believe there's no time for us to step outside of the boundary. I don't think it's time. He's giving me time to step outside to be a fool. Ain't no time for no frivolity. Ain't no time for foolishness. That's why I watch myself so very carefully. I would rather just shout and talk to him than I will not make an infraction against his holy law. To try to defile a brother in some foolish and gesturing. I don't want that, Father. I want to live right. I want to live holy. And I know it's a command unto us. And follow peace with all men. And holiness without no man is going to see your way. We're not going to see him without the holiness and the purity of that mind and his spirit dwelling in us. It's not going to be. The scripture says in Luke chapter 11 verse 1. The song says, I don't feel no ways tired. He's going to elevate his people above all the religious practices of this hour. Don't you understand that that was the cauldron of Egypt and Israel and all the surrounding plains? You don't understand that was the death stroke to Sodom and Gomorrah? And so he's going to elevate his people above the cauldron and this vile, filthy religious practices that are taking place. Everything that is predicated upon some form of religion. And yet it has no virtue at all to it. It produces nothing but harlotry. You can do anything you want to, say what you want to, act any way you want to, and you still save life from the pit of hell. Simple as that. There's only one way. There's only one road. There's a straight, narrow path that leads unto him. In this wicked world, they got every kind of path. It's the Baptist, the Methodist, the Pentecostal, the holiness, the first holiness, the shot, every kind of way. There's only one true divine way. Only one way. And everyone that is in that way, they're going to be led by his spirit. And that's why John said that you have the unction. You have the unction. And you need no man to teach you. Come on, he'll show you the way. He orders every good man's step. And so you always got to bring us into that frame of mind, the frame of spirit, whereby when he speaks to us, we will know that he is speaking. And these priests today, the Benny Hinds and all, if I walk in the midst of them, they will despise. And Benny Hinn, this is supposed to be a Jew. He's a false liar. Even his birth. Even disguised that he's nothing but a charlatan. Robbing and ripping folks off. That's all he's doing. Well, I don't think that any man can do what he's doing without God being with him. Well, you better search the scriptures and find out what man did. You better search the scriptures and see what this beast, the power of the spirit, is going to do in this last day. He's going to call fire down from heaven. You better search the scripture. You will truly find out. There are folks, I believe, they have gone to these false healers, and they have literally gotten healed. Those spirits have been cast out, and that was one that was much stronger than that one entered in. It happens all the time. Folks have testimony. Cancer, eating me up. You say what you will or may, but it's the truth. The true sign is going to be that there's a profound spiritual light in the hearts of his people, and they're going to have a love for his truth, and they won't despise him when he calls upon them. They won't despise his name. You see, Yahweh has allowed us, even suffering us to go along this far. And then he said, I want to tell you my name. Now, I can bring you to a place like he did Israel. He did not tell Israel his name until he got them out of that place. He went to Moses and said, now this will be my name. I know what he said, brother. He said that I am that I am. I simply believe that he said, look, who I am? I am that I am. I know you. Come on, Moses. I'm Yahweh. And he brought them out, and he put his name amongst them in the midst of them. And the first thing they did, they built a golden calf, and they got their own God. They began right then to reject his laws and despise his name. And that was the name that they were brought out. And the Pharaoh, when Moses went to Pharaoh's house, he saw Almighty Yahweh shall deliver them. And he said, Yahweh, who is that? Do you not know my gods? Parthian? Do you not know Dagon? I got God for the rain season. I got God for the fertility of the earth. I got God for the fertility of my subjects here. I got gods for everything. You, how many gods do you have? And Moses said, I have one. Who is it? He is that he is. I am that I am. Well, what is that? He is Yahweh. That's all you come with me with? Him? Just that one? Then I will draw upon the strength of my gods. And Almighty Yahweh knew that in that house, there was no chance that Israel was in bondage there in Goshen for 125 years. Yahweh knew exactly what that man for that moment was raised up for, that his name may get glory. Can you imagine those subjects when they saw the great Pharaoh armies fall? They said, who is this God? They said, his name was Yahweh. That's him, Yahweh. He certainly is not like the God of Dagon. He's not like the God of the Cushites, Moloch, and Molcom. He's not like Baal. Sure he isn't. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 2. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, O Yahshua, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Now we want to know how to pray, Yahweh, what he said. I don't believe he said, Lord, teach us how to pray. I believe they said, Yahweh, Yahshua, teach us how to pray. And he said unto them, look at what he said. When ye pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven. And look at the first thing. Hallowed be thy name, sanctified and holy, to render acknowledgement to his name. That's what he said to them. Look up the word. Oh, you're that scholarly, you can do that. Hallowed. Why that? Hallowed, sanctified, holy, separate. Your name is separate. It can't be profane. Hallowed be thy name. What is his name? If he say, hallowed is thy name, sanctified is your name, is it just God, Lord? He had a name. Yahshua knew that. And he told them to pray, hallowed Father, because he knew that he came to glorify the Father. He came in his Father's name. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Can I ask you a question? You think that Satan that went before Yahweh and just in his pure state, or the angels of heaven, I take that, the angels of heaven, you think that he has no name? I know he's a spirit. And the angels are ministering spirits. They're beings. You think that they just fall down before him and not even call him by name? He has an honored name and a hallowed name. And so what he's doing is cleansing up his people that they may call upon him in a hallowed way and truly call on his name. I believe that, saints. I believe that in a divine way. That's why men today, if you speak this, they will fight and reject it. That's why some of you've been adamant. You've been hard. This is your own demise. It's not mine. It's your own destruction. It's not going to produce the strength of Yahweh down in your soul. It isn't. Now, when it began in the book of Exodus, I'm going to read now. I'll tell you where I'm reading from. Exodus chapter 23, verse 21. It says, beware of him as Yahweh was talking to the house of Israel. First of all, he sent an angel unto them for one purpose, to keep them in the way and the place that he had prepared for them. Exodus 23, verse 21. He had established a way for them, and the angel of Yahweh was there to take them in that path, in that way. And this is how he warned them. He said, first of all, beware of him. Do you hear that? Exodus 23:21. And obey his voice, what he says. And provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions. Why? For my name is in him. Not only the power of my name, but the authority and the might and the purpose I've ordained. So don't reject what he says. When he speaks unto you, don't go around that. What America just did in Iraq, she went in the power and the might. Everyone knows, not just another nation. She had authority because her name is the United States of America. Whether she had Britain and any of those countries, she could have swept them away by herself. She simply wanted a coalition to gratify her or to give her some sense of consolation in her wickedness, in her sins that she had perpetrated to do. And they still haven't found the weapons of mass destruction. Nothing there. Nothing that the man had to reach this land to do us any harm. Can you imagine? The man is trying to protect his country from other Arab nations as well. Just good to make them think that he got something. Isn't that something when the big bully in school, you want to make sure that the bully thought you had something, whether you had nothing at all, your heart thumping and beating like a fire hose. You didn't give it, as they say, you didn't show your trump cards. Chosen up to tell them he didn't have it. He told them he didn't, but he kept them in speculation. And even in all of their fancy technology, they still, even as they alter the reports, to say that he had that, to change the minds and the concepts and the perception of this nation. And most folks say, kill the man, go after him, take him under, he's going to do us harm. They had no thought, no conscience. It doesn't take much to fool America. It doesn't at all, because she lives in a fantasy realm. She lives with video games, football and basketball, baseball and soccer. Parents today, they run to the tilt. Daughter in dance, daughter in theatricals, daughter in this, son playing baseball, playing basketball, playing football, doing every kind of vile, wicked thing there is. And no time for Almighty Yahweh. After that, nothing but television and the internet and surfing and all of that trash. It's a nation of fantasy and not reality. You know something is wrong when a boy can put on a pair 3-cent tennis shoes, and you pay $50 for them, and it literally gives him some kind of motivation. They're polluted. All that trash. And Yahweh doesn't intend for us to be a part of that. You don't even know what the word Nike means, really. Look it up. I know what it means. Look at the word Nike. I know exactly what Nike got to mean. I know exactly what the word means. Amen. Glory. Everything, as Evangelist Hart Fosfield taught me 20 years ago, he said, Brother Roberts, I want to tell you something. Everything is of significance. Don't think that it has no significant purpose. I don't care what it is. It has a significance, Brother Roberts. It does. Now, he wasn't laughing in mockery. It was an essence of joy when he would laugh like that. When he realized what things the Father had made known to him. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 and verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 and verse 11. I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but I want to read these. The scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5, but the place, I know what it says in that scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5. You doubters, I want you to turn. You that have trouble in your mind and your spirit. But you ought to just fall before Yahweh and say, cleanse me first of all. And as you go, he will guide you to the path of light and truth. But the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose out of all your tribes. Now he chose a place to do what? To put his name there. Even his habitation shall ye seek, that there shall thou come. He said, of all the places, I'm going to call your people and a tribe. And I'm going to put my name there. And everything about my name, they will mention my name in everything. And everything they do, my name will be exalted. It will be heralded in the heavens. That's what he wants, saints. He wants his name to be exalted. Amen. Even with the name of Jesus, you don't use that much. You say, Lord, I thank the Lord for helping me. I thank the Lord. And that's the truth. Say what you want to. The hypocrisy of that as well. That's how we have said it. Amen. Deuteronomy. You're preaching against his name. No, I'm trying to show you what is his name. That's what I'm doing. The 11th verse. Then there shall be a place which Yahweh, your Elohim, shall choose to come, shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. And there shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and a heave offering of your hand, and your choice vows which ye vowed to Yahweh. He said, I'm going to place a place there. My name shall be upon there. And you shall bring all your offerings and your sacrifices to that place. Your heave offering and every kind of offering. Your offerings of sacrifice, of praise, and thanksgivings. I want them to be brought into that place where my name is established. And now what he has done in the natural sense of that tabernacle and the building, he has come and put his name in the hearts of men. And out of that heart we bring sacrifices into that place, praises and thanksgivings. We bring that into the tabernacle, our offerings of our bodies unto him as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable without any, which is our reasonable service unto him. And so there's a delight to give everything unto the Father. And that's what we want to do. And the more we understand him, the more we delight in his glorious presence. Deuteronomy 14, 23 and 24. Listen to the word of Yahweh. It says, and thou, Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, and thou shalt eat before Yahweh thy Elohim in the place where he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy grain, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the firstling of thy herds and of thy flock, that thou mayest learn to fear Yahweh thy Elohim always. And if the way is too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place is too far for thee, which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh thy Elohim have blessed thee. Now he has chosen a place to put his name in our hearts, saints, to bless us. And there's where he wants his name, that when the mentioning of his name, it causes a rejoicing. It shouldn't cause you to get angry, upset, a trouble. It shouldn't. It should cause you to search the scripture and hear what I'm saying and see if it's true or if it is right. See if it's of the spirit of Yahweh. If you're spiritual, spiritual man judge all things, judge no man. And so you judge the validity of it, the truth of it. Is it from the Father? It is either from the Father or it's not. What I'm reading to you, it has to have validity or it has no validity at all. Now I will show you. I got other scriptures. See, I know what they did. He desecrated his name. The priests didn't even want to make mention of it. They did not. They did not. He never told them to change his name. He never. It was their own corruption, their own sin. Because when he mentioned that name, there were laws and commands that were associated with his authority. And they feared it. So man has gotten to the point now he don't even fear it. Come on, saints, even when you mention the name of Jesus, you don't even fear that. You say what you want to. You mention him, but there ain't no fear there. He wants us to fear his name. The 16th chapter of Deuteronomy. I want to begin the 5th verse to the 11th. I want to read this. Deuteronomy 16, verse 5. Now, I'm going in sequential order, so it'll be easy to keep up with me. That's why I start maybe in the old, and I jump to the new for a while like that. I know it's much easier if I do it this way. I don't want to lose you. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 16, verse 5, down to verse 11. He said that thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates, which Yahweh thy Elohim giveth thee. But at the place which Yahweh thy Elohim hath chosen to place his name in there, that thou mayest sacrifice the Passover at evening, at the setting of the sun, and at the time of the departure from Egypt. If you will look at these scriptures and think of them, they actually deal with his presence and where his presence is. For where his name is, his presence is there. Paul knew the scriptures, and he preached in the powerful name of Yahweh. He did, saints. He said to Agrippa, to Festus, he said, I say nothing but what Moses and the prophets have said. Nothing else I'm saying. So he didn't preach in some foreign name. He preached in the name of Yahweh. That's what he preached in. And so they've taken hallelujah and want to praise him with hallelujah. It's hallelujah. Not hallelujah, but hallelujah. Verse 7. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose. And thou shalt turn in the morning and go to thy tent. He says, 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread. And on the seventh day shall be solemn assembly unto Yahweh thy Elohim. In it thou shalt do no work. 7 weeks shall thou number to be thee, begetting to number the seventh week, from the time when thou beganest, to put out the sickle of grain. Verse 10. And thou shalt keep the feast of the weeks of Yahweh thy Elohim, which is a tribute, a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give to Yahweh thy Elohim, according as Yahweh thy Elohim has blessed thee. It says in verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice before Yahweh thy Elohim, thou and thy sons, and thy daughters, and thy male, and thy female, and thy Levite, that is within the gates, and the strangers of the fatherless, and the widows that are among you. Where? In the place which Yahweh thy Elohim has chosen to place his name there. And so if he doesn't place his name there, you're not going to rejoice. If there's not a spirit and the power of his name placed in your heart, you ain't going to rejoice. You're going to dishonor the father just like a corrupt son dishonors his father. Not a faithful son. He honors his father. And Yahshua was a faithful son to the cause of Yahweh. And he came to make known the power and the glory of his name that had been eradicated by the corrupt hearts of men. Why they wanted to move? Because the priests, you search the scripture and see the sins of those priests. They do their things, even in the sacrifices. Look at the sons of Eli. Phinehas and Hophni. They knew when they called upon that name, that was a fear generated. So they began to generalize things and go with general practices of things. He's not just a generalized Elohim. He's the Almighty. He's the El Shaddai. Not above him. Nothing else. Sure he is. That is who he is. And he will not allow any other name to be exalted above his name. He has a glorious name. And his name denotes his presence, his power and his anointing in the midst of the people. And that's why he wants us to call him by name. And man has, that's why I said at the beginning, there's no real powerful things trespassing in the earth. Say what you want to. That's why this is a wicked and an adulterous generation. They're all just seeking after a sign. And there shall be no sign given unto them but the prophet Jonas. As he was in the belly of the fish, the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man he shall be in the belly of the earth, the same thing. And so there's nothing profound happening. And men get so aroused when they got these groovers and these false liars with their theology and their sensual type preparation. They love that trash. And they send them millions of dollars. But if God deals with the sin and the nature of their hearts, they don't want that. The groomers and the lords, they were sent millions. James Lord lives like a king. I've seen his house and the way the man lives. And yet he wants people to think he lived a proper life. He lived rich. He lives in a rich lifestyle. Sure he does. Own property and land everywhere. That's what these perverts do. Amen. He always says, I'm going to speak by my spirit. So be one of truth and you shall know it. I'm going to honor his name, whether you honor it or not. 2 Samuel, verse 7. As Nathan spoke to David, Samuel chapter 7, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 13. He says this now, look at this. He shall build an house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. A house for thy name. Tell me, every whorehouse you go to has a name. First Baptist, First Pentecostal, They all have name. Jehovah Witnesses. They all have name. And Yahweh said in the midst, I'm going to put my name and I'm going to establish my name in the midst. And a man would truly keep my laws and my sayings. He will honor me and would acknowledge me in all things. This is the generation that's not doing it. There's no powerful things taking place because his presence truly is not in the midst. I believe that by faith, we pray for a mother like that. She confessed her sins and all of her corrupt ways. Then the prayer of faith shall heal her. And if she has sin, any sin, then her sin shall be forgiven. We don't even have faith truly to pray that prayer. Some of you all don't even know how to pray for because you're afraid. And if you're righteous, we know that the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So you don't even know how to pray. You're afraid because you have no faith. Say what you want to. You don't have no faith. So you won't pray. You can exude yourself and exalt yourself highly. I want him to bring me down so he can just show me how naked I am. And then once he does that, then he can begin to clothe me. Sure he can. Oh, he put on me the right shoes. Boy, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He can put me on the right breastplate and a shield of faith that can quench all the fire darts of the hell. Helmet of salvation. Oh, I want him to do that. Strip me down. That's what I want. You see, in our arrogance, David says, he said, in all of my foolishness, in my ignorance, I was as a beast before Yahweh. And because of your foolishness and your ignorance, you're just like a beast. You're like a foolish beast. Those beasts in the field, if you go out there, watch them. Watch them. They're pigs. You do things instinctively. Not because it is a hard, thriving thing by the unction of the Spirit. It's an instinct. You respond that way. That's what the beasts do. That's what they do. Look out there. I guarantee you they're eating. Eat in the rain. And that's what we do. We eat every kind of trash there is. Every kind of thing to persuade us from the truth instead of eating those things that bring us to the truth. That's what we do. And the things that bring us to the truth, it will cramp your flesh. It will cramp your fleshly style. It will make you look like a foolish one. Sure will. He was chosen the simple things of the world to confound the wise. The simple thing. Men are so confounded, that name. They're so confounded. Well, I don't see why. Well, like the man said, why Yahshua? Why Jesus? Amen. Tell me. I don't believe the angel said his name to be Jesus. I believe as Paul said, as Yahshua spoke to him in a Hebrew tongue. I don't even see how some of your minds can just even omit that. Something is wrong with you. Something is wrong with you. That was Yahshua speaking to him. Something is wrong with your mind. Something is wrong with your spirit. And that's just it. He spoke to him in Hebrew tongue that there could be no doubt in Almighty Yahweh did not allow them. They wrote it in a Hebrew tongue. Sure it did. First King chapter 9, verse 3. The presence of Yahweh. These scriptures that I'm giving to you today at this moment identify his presence, his name in the midst. It said, First King 9, chapter 9, verse 3. And Yahweh said it to him, I've heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. He said, first of all, I've hallowed this house, which thou hast built. The house was holy. His name is a holy name. He doesn't put his name in a defiled, corrupt place. He always said, Solomon, I've hallowed this house. For what purpose? To put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. So he's put his name in our hearts, that his eyes can be on us and his thoughts toward us perpetually, saints. That is what he is doing. He wants to be the covering of us. He don't want us to move away from him and underneath him. The scriptures are so simple. But we have interpreted them in our own ignorance. No one can tell you that. Well, I know what the scripture says. No, you don't. The scriptures are revealed unto us by his spirit. Sure they are. Daniel had to wait for Yahweh to reveal the thing to him. And he revealed it to him. You saw what happened with that beast, when the man rejected that glorious name. And he spoke to him in the name of Almighty Yahweh. When he said, "Now, my majesty," his name is the name of majesty. When King Nebuchadnezzar did that, the very same hour he was driven out like a beast in the field. Claws grew on him like birds. The dew of the field, he was wet by that. When a man rejects his divine truth, he's going to be driven out into the field to eat the grass of the earth. And he has given us meat to eat. What is his meat? His will. He's not giving you grass to eat. He's giving us meat to eat. The meat to do His will. Have to finish His will. That's the meat of His saints. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar could not eat the meat. When he obeyed Daniel, I was in the simple things that he gave him. Told him how to cleanse his sins. And told him how to cleanse himself from iniquity. To show mercy upon the poor. That's what he told him. And the man said, because of my majesty and my power, the kingdom. No, it is the majesty of the great king. And it's the majesty of his name. So Nebuchadnezzar said, my name is going to be exalted. No, you always say, no, sir. That's not going to be done. And he shows us patterns and examples in the scripture. And he cast them out to the fields as a beast. Then he ate grass. Yahshua didn't eat grass. He ate the meat. And that was the will of his father. I took you the will. Now that's what he wants us to eat, the meat. Now I know some of you all are still on milk. You need to begin to eat meat. I know some of you want to teeter around the will of Yahweh. Say, well, I don't know if it takes all that. Yeah, it takes more than that. It takes more to cook meat than it does greens. You can literally put some more greens in the pot and boom, and let them go. Meat, you got to pay a little more attention to that. Someone read that in 1 Kings. I want to read verse 33 of that. I had that marked. First Kings, chapter 11, verse 33. If you haven't turned from that, one of you brothers, stand up, Rudolph, Brother Dolphins, and read that for me. 1 Kings, chapter 11, verse 33. Read it just like it is in that scripture. Read it aloud for me, son. 1 Kings, chapter 11, verse 33. Hold up, son. Read it. You all hear this now. Listen to this carefully. Come on, read it loud for me, son. Because they have what? Forsaken me. Listen. And have worshipped Asheroth. Look at this now. Yes, I want to read that. Let me read that, son. That's all right. Let me see this. I want to read it out of this one. I want to read this. 1 Kings 11:33. Let me start at verse 31. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel. Now I know I says it in that. Behold, I will rid the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and give 10 tribes to thee. Why? Because he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I've chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Now, why are you going to rent this? Listen, saints. He tells us, because they have forsaken me. And they have worshipped Ashtoreth. Look at what God they worship. Calls her the goddess of the Zidonians. Heathens. He called that goddess by name. Why? He has no name. And yet Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, she had a name, a perverted thing. Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and yet the Moabites had their god. It's pathetic. We really think about it. And Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, he named them all by name. He knew them. And they didn't go there and say, God. They said, Ashtoreth. Precious princess. They call her by name. The God of the children of Ammon. And they have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes. And keep my statutes and my judgment as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand. But I will make him princes of all the days of the life for David, my servant. That's why he has not taken his love away from us. Because he has promised in the seed of Abraham. In that seed. A seed of faith. We that are just, we live by faith. He has not taken his love from our hearts, his truth. He said, whom I've chosen be because he kept my commandments and my statutes. Because of David, he said. He said, but I will take the kingdom out of his son's hands and will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son will I give one tribe that David's servant might have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen to put my name. But there where he has chosen to put his name. in the city of Jerusalem. He has chosen to put his name in the hearts of his saints today. That we don't pollute it. We don't allow it to be taken out of our hearts and our spirits because of the enemy. But we take delight in the precious name of Yahweh and glorify him. I got some scriptures I want to read here now. 2 Kings chapter 21. Turn there quickly. 2 Kings chapter 21. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. Verse 1 through 4. We hear what Almighty Yahweh the Elohim saith. All right? The scripture says Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother was named Hephzibah. Amen. And he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh. After the abominations of the heathens, which Yahweh cast out before the children of Israel. And the scripture says, for he built up again the high places, which Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal. He told you exactly who the altars were for. When an altar is raised up, it's a high place. And the name is put there so that when people come, they will see that. So he raised up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshiped all the hosts of heavens and served them. And many hosts of heaven, saints, a lot of spirits, it is. And he built altars in the house of Yahweh, of which Yahweh said, in Jerusalem will I put my name. And look at what he did. Verse 6. And he made his sons pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of groves that he made in the house of which Yahweh said to David and to Solomon, his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of the tribes of Israel, I will put my name. He intended for his name to be in the house. And yet we set up all kinds of groves in his house. Every kind of religious spirit, every kind of god of our bellies. And he said, that's why he said, he caused even the sons to pass through the fires. They began to draw on enchantments and spirits and wizards. And you began to seek out every kind of counsel except the truth of Yahweh's word. You began to try to find something for your flesh man to continue in its way. And because you despise his truth, not only his name, you just despise his truth, because in his name is his truth revealed. He's trying to take us from faith to faith. So look how far your faith has brought you so far. And now he's trying to take us into the realm where we can truly see his face. And once you see that glorious appearing of his face, you will really rejoice. I don't believe he set a wicked man over us. I don't resent it because you say that. That's all right. I don't have no compunction with that. But I'm not a wicked man. I'm sincere. My heart is sincere. So the thing I want to do is search my heart. Try me. You see, if there be any wicked way in me, I want it to be exposed. Glory. I do. I don't want to go before him. And he cast me away. I don't want to do that. We're getting close to the hour. I don't want to try to take us down some strange path. Take us down the right path. Lead us unto eternal life. And take us down some strange path. Glory to the Father. He says in the 23rd, amen. It was 21. He said the 23rd chapter of 2 Kings. 2 Kings 23, verse 21. He said, Yahweh said, I will remove Judah also out of my sight, as I remove Israel. And I will reject the city Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house which I have set, my name shall be there. Now, saints, come on. Even in that, if we want to put his authority shall be there. Somewhere in those scriptures, he intends for his name to be there. Literally. The mark of his name. You can take 99% of them and say he literally means his authority. Just one scripture that he means his name. Then do you discount that? You cannot discount that. His name is the glorious name. It's above the earth. It's above every name. And he wants his name in the temple. He wants it to be glorified in worship. And that's why Yahshua came in his name, that he came to honor the Father. He had a witness that was greater than John the Baptist. He said, come on, John is a witness. But my witness is greater than that. They say, huh? My Father, he has a testimony of me that's greater than John. When he said that, those Jews say, And when he said that to us, we say, now, hold up now. No, I said, go forth, Father. Speak to me the truth. Tell me. Glory. Speak to me the truth. You ought to know a man by, if I'm a false preacher, false brother, my fruit will bear witness to me. If I'm false, there will be fruit there. You can't hide fruit. I walk around here constantly and I just glory and bless the Father. When I look at the grapes, the scuffernauts, and I look at the cart, I was so excited the other day when Sister Marshall and Sister Teresa came out to the garden to cut cabbage. I said, come on, Brother Allen, we'll cut those cabbage. They look so beautiful. I just wanted to cut the cabbage. Just give me your knife here. I'll cut them. Knowing that, I'll pull the wagon back. I see the bountifulness of his fruit. And you will know whether the man is he's producing death or fruit. Whether producing pausing or life. I'm not speaking against his name, so it can't be death. Glory. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16. Glory. I'm not going to finish all this today. I'm going to... I've got a lot of scripture, saints. I'm going to be on this for a while. Now, I'll preach on the radio about things like I did last night and Thursday night. It blessed my heart, those messages. And especially that one Thursday. If you haven't heard that one, you need to listen to that one. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16. He said, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And that my heart, that my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9. Profound statement here. But if ye turn to me, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9. But if ye turn to me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were of you driven to the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from there, and will bring them to the place where I have chosen to set. Now that's, it's what concludes it all, as far as I'm concerned, to set my name there. To set something there, it means to inscribe it, to place it. Not just to put, he said, but I'm going to set, S-E-T, set my name. If I set this chair here, you can see that chair. He said, I'm going to put my name, I'm going to set my name in the midst. He had a name, and his name is Yahweh. That is his name, not just Lord God, but that is the enunciation of his true divine name, Yahweh. And his son came to bring salvation unto us. And he is the assurance of Yahweh's salvation. Yahshua the Lamb. I don't care if some of you all don't want to sing in his name or pray in his name. I'm going to sing in his name. Oh, it's not hard for me to do that. Nah. I love the sound of it. It does something to me. Amen. It takes me to a different height. It really does. It's just the truth. It just does. It takes me to a different mindset. Glory. Are you ashamed all these years? No, I'm just glad. I'm just glad. Sure I am. I'm just glad. So I will enter into Yahweh's house with thanksgivings in my heart. I will lift up Yahshua's name with praise. I will say this is the day that Yahweh has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for Yahweh has made me glad. He has made me glad. Yahshua has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. No, I don't need no new songs. I just put his name in the place where it ought to be. I'm not going to be ashamed to sing it. I'm not going to capitulate because those that don't know or understand, I'm going to put His name in the highest place, in the place that it can be recognized, whether they understand it or not. You think the heathens understood the mighty power of that name? The only way they understood it when they would know the works that He did in His name, when He was to do their kingdoms, and the tabernacle will be raised, or His name will be exalted. They would say, "Who is the ones that destroyed the Amalekites?" Well, they came in the name of Yahweh. And the name was feared amongst heathens. Even the heathens feared it. That ought to show us the arrogance of our hearts. Even the heathens feared His name. Even the heathens feared that name. That was the name they called back then in the days, all right? Paul began to preach. He preached in the power of that name. That's why he was stoned. That's why they were killed. That's why Peter was killed. They were killed. Because they preached in the power of that name. You're always sending His Son. Who is it? Yahshua, the one that you crucified. He was your salvation. He was the Messiah. Is that so? Because His name, it tells all that. The deliverance, the Messiah. Don't need no two parts, His name. Just one part. Even in the Arabic countries, their name's always a one part name. Oh, the other parts express their profession or what they do. Abul, Abdullah, Samit, Shaddai. Those other names just express their trade or whatever. That's all it does. But they're all Abul. Abdullah. See, that's all Abdullah. Abdullah what? This is Abdullah. What's your last name? Just Abdullah. I am Abdullah. Oh, I'm Abdullah Abab Abbas. That means I'm a carpenter and my daddy was one too. That's all it means. Hey, that's all it means, sister. They don't have last names. You look at the Chronicles of Scripture, none of them had a last name. One name, because it all glorified, they were all sent, and their names identified Yahweh. If you search it out, the firstborn, the flowing river, all of their names identified and glorified the works of the Father. Sure did. And so that's why the Arab countries today still persist. Muhammad, Abdullah, Abbas, Shadash. What is that? Well, my daddy was a carpenter, and his granddaddy was one, and my off-trade is a welder. That's how it's done today, sister. Still the same. Still the same. Even Saddam Hussein, actually that's the name he used for the world to know him. But that's not his name, because he was ashamed of his name. Because it was a name that associated with, what are those? Not pagan, but peasantry. He was from a peasant clan. He couldn't even speak well, and so he was ashamed of that, so he changed it to Saddam Hussein. Now, he did not change from the lineage of his name. He just took aspects of his name and changed it to Saddam. But that's not his true name. Because his true name expressed his country, his culture, his father, and what his father did. His father was a peasant man. And so Saddam didn't like that. And they say he still, even today, was not an eloquent speaker. He didn't have the command of even the Arabic language. He didn't. So he took upon the name Saddam. I don't care where you go, Muammar Gaddafi is Muammar Gaddafi, the wild man. He is still Muammar Gaddafi. Sure he is. The Sultan of Brunei, he is the Sultan of Brunei. Prince Abdullah, he is Prince Abdullah. In Hebrewic, American, Arabic, he is still Prince Abdullah. Yahweh is his name. Glory to the Lamb. And so Yahweh said, I have chosen to set my name. When you set something, I set this here. There's imprint there. There are marks to let us know. He has chosen to set his name in his house. Isaiah, look at this. Psalm 75:1. Psalm 75:1. And Isaiah 18:7. Look at Psalm 75:1 first. David says this, I love this. He says, to thee, O Elohim, Psalm 75:1. He said, do we give thanks? To thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near and wondrous works declared. Do you understand that? For that thy name is near my heart. And the wonders of thy name, your works declare that your name. Amen. This is your heart. Your name is so near my heart. It's in my heart. And that is what Yahweh wants today.
To thee, Elohim, do we give thanks. To thee we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare.
His works, the works of the heavens, the trees, they declare the name of Yahweh, saints. Not just God, or gods, or Lord. He's greater than a Lord, saints. He's greater than a God. He's the only true wise Elohim. None other like him. He truly is. He wants us to know him by name and call him. I was saying to Brother Lee, I said, I certainly don't want Sister Roberts calling me a Bobby King. I said, I don't even want her to play that way with me. Period. I want her to call me David. No, there are other names she may call me. She'd call me Big Tex, Big Man. I understand all those names too. But it's still David. Glory. Not even let that one slip. Period. No more she wants me to call her Inga. Huh? You understand that? She wants me to call her Jean, a mama, a Sister Robert. I call her Inga. She may get a little upset. Huh? All right. Isaiah chapter 18, verse 7. Hear what Yahweh saith. In that time shall the present be brought to Yahweh of hosts, of a people scattered and stripped, and from a people terrible from their beginning to this time, a nation measured by lying and trodden underfoot, whose land and rivers have spoiled, to do what? To the place of the name of Yahweh of hosts, the Mount Zion, the city of Yahweh, Mount Zion. That's where his name ought to be, in Zion, in his house. And this scattered people, a people that the beginnings have been terrible, and all of our beginnings, we ever had no good beginnings now, even in the faith now, scattered, terrible, their beginnings, a nation measured by lines and trodden under foot. And that's the nation that we have been. I want to read a few more scriptures. I've got more to read, but I don't want to vex you. And it shouldn't vex you. I wear you out. I want you to take this and search it and see. What I wanted to convey even in this is to show you his mighty presence as he speaks in his name, his power, as his presence in the midst. And David says in Psalms 8 and 1, the majesty of his name. Saints, if you read that ought to give, you don't even have to have intellect to understand this. It just takes you opening your heart. It's not being stubborn. It doesn't take that. It just takes a willing heart. You're not willing. Listen to this. I want you to turn to Psalms 8, verse 1. Listen to this. I'm going to read it slow because it's so simple. I know what it says in that. Dolphus, read that for me in that text you have. Stand up and read that loud for me, please, sir. Isn't that something? It's just say, oh Lord, thank you. I'm going to read it from this text. Oh Yahweh, our Master Redeemer, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. What is his name if it's an excellent name? It's not Lord God. Oh Yahweh, how excellent is thy name. That is his name. David was talking in that hour. He did not say, oh Jesus, say what you will. That was who he was talking to. He said, oh Yahweh, how excellent is thy name. What is his name if he has an excellent name? He had to have a name for David to declare it. There was a name there that David was dealing with, and David had to declare that name. And his name is Yahweh. Oh, Yahweh, our Master, our Redeemer, how excellent. Do you understand what excellent is? The virtue, the purity. He's how excellent is thy name. He has not changed it from David to us. He has not changed his name. No, he hasn't. His name is still the same. It doesn't change. Not one bit. Not at all. And so David said, oh, Yahweh. He called him by name because he knew him. And because his name was so profound in his heart, he said, how excellent. How excellent is thy name. What name? No, thy name. Your name is excellent. There's no name like that name is excellent. And Almighty Yahweh, he set his son in his name in that excellent name. That is the only name that is excellent above all the earth's age. That is given unto man in this, in our vernacular to understand. In our speech to understand. Yeah. He's given a name. And he's given us a sure name. It can't be different name. It has to be one name. And everybody has to call upon that name. He and the Father, they are one. They ain't no three different gods. Just one. It's just one Elohim. You understand that that's what the Baal was. All kinds of gods. In Baalism, there were all kinds of gods. Now, that was just not one. Baal was the chief architect, but there are all kinds of powers that sprouted out from him. Look at Hinduism. They have a god for everything there is. They have a god for a stomach ache. They have a god for a headache. They have a god for the thousand temples of Buddha. They got thousands of Buddhas in those temples. That's why places like Chinese restaurants, I wouldn't dare venture in there. Big belly Buddhas making sacrifices unto their gods. Ain't no way. You always taught me that long ago when I used to go all the time to Shabazz. I would get paid on Friday. I would go to Shabazz. I would get me two whiting fish sandwiches. And I would get me two bags of potato chips. And I would get me two slices of bean pie. And two sodas. Soda pop, I like to call them. And one day I realized that this is wrong because I know exactly where their monies are going. Does anybody think I go out here and buy something from a man and he's a heathen? But I know where their money's going, and I've never, as much as I love their fish sandwiches, they were very delicious. They were. And the bean pie was just scrumptious. It was just out of the world. And I would go there and get it all the time. Every Friday, that was my treat, to go to Shabazz and get me a piece of bean pie and a whiting fish sandwich. I could eat one back then, and I was full because I wasn't a big man. I could eat one sandwich and a piece of bean pie and chip. And I would save the other one for later on, or basically I would eat that one too, because they were real good when they were warm. They were. He has an excellent name, saint. His name is above the earth. It's above everything. How excellent is thy name. Michael chapter 5, verse 4. The majesty of his name. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of Yahweh. In the majesty of the name of Yahweh, his Elohim, and they shall abide for now, shall be a great end of the earth. We're going to stand, saints. We're going to feed in the strength of his name. If his name doesn't strengthen you, because you're rejecting the majesty and the power of it, if there's no anointing in his name because you're walking against the simplicity of this truth, it's not an overbearing. It's not an overtaxing thing. It's just a simple thing. That's all. He wants his name declared now. He has suffered these things for all the years, and now he wants his name to be known and declared like he did in Jerusalem. There were many years that his name had been expunged from the temple. And yet he will cause it in the hearts of those kings. He will raise them up that they will eradicate the temple of all the vile pagans. And the name of Yahweh was extolled to his purity and his righteousness and his excellence. And you will see a great transformation in the house of Israel. It was only when they began to move away from his name, you will see dearth and death and all kinds of succumbing to every kind of strange spirit there is. And so he's brought us to this hour to bring us into the knowledge of that truth. Sure he has. That he's brought us into a wilderness that we don't have to fight against. We just simply trust in the mighty power and the majesty of his excellent name. For his name is excellent. And there's no other name like it. There is no other name like his name. And I'm not going to dishonor my father. I'm going to call him Yahweh. It's my father's name. I'm going to call him by name. Yahshua came in the power of the father's name. And if it's not that, then we must call him. I don't know what you would derive Jesus from Yahshua. It must be Azusas. You got to call him something because he has a name, saints. And there ain't no doubt about it. He has a name. And that's the true sister. I'm not preaching some strange thing to us. It's the power of this revelation truth for this hour. And we're going to have one prayer language, and it's going to be the same. There's going to be no diversity of it. We're going to pray for the coming of our great King. I'm not despondent because of this. You don't want to sing in His name. I will sing to the power of His glory. I will sing to the heavens come down. I will testify in His name. I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I don't believe Almighty Yahweh Mother Smith is preparing, as we all better be preparing to go home, to bring this old woman to this hour to cause her mind to be confused. She's not empty today. You got enough truth in your heart. But a man is empty, that's why he's confused. You ought to empty yourself and divest yourself of the sin that is in you. When you're empty, that's why you're full. You don't have what you really think you have. And that's just the truth. Keep filling yourself, sister. That's all right. Fill yourself on up to the brim. Yeah, fill your heart on up with His truth. You won't be confused. He's not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. No, He won't confuse us. You know, when you got strife and you want to fight against His truth, then you are confused. When you fight against it, you will be confused. That's right, Sister Horn. The more you fight, the more confused you're going to get. When you begin to submit, say, Father, help me. He'll help us. He won't let a dog like me destroy the young and the innocent. No, He's not. He's going to let a dog like me take the simple and destroy it. I don't believe that. I got enough fear of Him to know that He's not going to let a coward dog like me do that. And that's what I would be, a coward dog. A coward dog. You can call anything you want, I will call a coward dog. And that I'm not. His name is a beautiful name. His name is beautiful. Glorious name. You don't want to marry a woman that you don't know her name, do you, son? Huh? Do you want to know her name? Sure you do. What is your name, honey? Name? But what is a name? You're trying to be smart with me. It's one thing that a man in his lust, when he meets a woman, hey, what's that? What's your name, girl? I'm Curly Thing. My name is Curly. He wants to know a name. She doesn't say, my name is Name. Yeah, I know you got a name, but what is the name? It's Name. You're trying to be cute there, aren't you? But what is it? It's Name. My name is Girl. Is that literally your name, Girl? Yeah, I'm Girl. Don't sound right to me. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you a name, all right? I'm going to call you Blossom. I like that. I remember when I worked at IBM, there was a man, his name was literally Hercules Morgan. Hercules, he was about, I don't know, he was about that high, he was that tall. He was every 400 pounds. He was a huge man, very, very big. He was just big. He was. Hercules was about, I believe he's about tall as Sister Rob. Was he tall as you? He's about your height, a little taller? Yeah, but he was huge. He was probably 375, 400 pounds. He's a big man. And so one day I said, what is your name, Hercules? He said, that's my name. I said, come on, man. You calling me a liar? Well, he went on. I said, come on, man. Tell me. He said, man, you hypocrite and preacher. He called me a hypocrite. That's your problem. You think you know me? I said, no. I said, Herc, I just thought that was just your nickname you had. He said, no, my name is Hercules. And that was his name, Hercules Morgan. You would think that name, Hercules, he was kind of looked like a Hercules somewhat. Our image of Hercules. But that was his name, Hercules Morgan. And he was furious with that. My name is Hercules Morgan. He was, sister. He cursed me low. He really cursed me. You hypocrite, you lying preacher. That's your problem. Yeah, you hypocrite. I said, come on, Herc. Come on, Hercules. I just thought it was a name that, you know, you had carried all your life. I didn't mean no harm. I said, that's why I asked you that. I always known you as Hercules Morgan, but I just thought it was a name. You know, just, that's all, Herc. Come on, man. Don't do it. No, you just went, no, you never have. I said, come on, Herc, man. Come on. Okay, I got it now. I know you're Hercules, all right? You won't have no problem with me calling you nothing but Hercules. And that was his name. That was his name, sister. That was his literal name, Hercules Morgan. Hercules. When he died in Philadelphia. Did you know he was dead? That was in the paper. Hercules. Now, he didn't look like no Hercules. He really said, may Yahweh give you peace today and rest in your minds.